Open with me to Exodus chapter 30. We have been studying Hebrews in our class this semester. And in doing that, we've seen a lot of the connection between the tabernacle, the Old Testament, the tabernacle that Moses built in the wilderness, and the temple that Solomon built, and then also the life of the believer. And we've been studying what is it that Christ is our high priest, and what was it that the high priest was doing in the tabernacle. And then he's talking about how Christ has done that same thing for us in a different tabernacle. And he talks about it. It is the real tabernacle. It's in heaven. The picture, we have this little tabernacle here on earth, this little temple, and the structure of it, and to think that that is just a copy of what is in heaven. And as the sacrifices were made and the offerings were made, they were made like kind of copying that image of what Christ has done for us in heaven. But I want to read about the altar of incense this evening in Exodus chapter 30. This is the tabernacle in the wilderness, right? Look at that. That is the outer wall of it. There is this inner court here, this area here. And then here you have something that is called the Holy of Holies. And inside of the Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant was. Right? The Ark of the Covenant. This little golden box. 4 feet long, 2 feet wide, 2 feet tall. And in it is built of wood and covered, completely covered in gold. Unbelievably ornate, beautiful. But out here, we have some furniture. That there's a candlestick, 7 candles. And then over here, there's a bread with 12 loaves of bread overflowing the table, right? There's a table, the showbread, 12 loaves of bread, one for each of the nation of Israel. And then here, right before you go into the Holy of Holies, there's this thing, it's called the altar of incense. Out here, you have the brazen altar. Right? This is where the sacrifices were made. And there's a space between these two altars. This altar is always burning, always hot coals. Every morning and every evening, Aaron would go in and he would fill these candles with oil, trim the wicks, and he would also put the incense on this altar. And it was a very fine powder. You can read about it. It was all kinds of blend of spices and different things, and it was made by a perfumer. His name was Bezalel. He made everything. You can read about Bezalel. He's amazing. He made everything. Such a cool guy. And it was good. They would take two handfuls of it and they would throw it on the altar and it would burn. It would just make this cloud of smoke that would fill, this has a roof, it would fill this whole tabernacle, and on the end, here and here, there's a gable vent. And so as the incense went up, it would fill this place, and then it would pour out of the tabernacle, and it would go into the camp of Israel. And it was a beautiful, beautiful aroma. Beautiful. And when they made it, you know how, does any trivia question, right? You get a free cup of coffee if you answer it right. Next week, there's none left. But do you know when they made they would make a portion of it, a load of it, a batch of, there it is, a batch of this incense. Do you know how much it would weigh? One batch? Anybody? Chris?
40 pounds.
40 pounds, all right. 100 pounds. Anybody else?
250,
Bob. $1, Bob. No, 250? You're halfway there. Well, it was more. It was like 560 pounds of incense.
560.
Yeah. 561, Bob. Isn't that unbelievable? That is the weight of it. Like, and they would make it. So he would go in. So there is like an abundance of it when it is made, right? And they would go in two handfuls in the morning. And there's, wow, like this big cloud of smoke would go up because the coals are always hot. They always make sure there are hot coals there. But if we think of the life of the high priest and his ministry is in this temple, but it's in between these two altars. This is where his life's work is. And this altar here is where the physical sacrifice would be placed, where the lamb or the bull or the dove, whatever it is that is brought, he would put it here. And then he would come into, this is called the sanctuary, into the holy place, and this is where he would be ministering. He'd be preparing the bread. He would be working on the candles. He would be with the incense. And then only one time of year would the high priest go into the Holy of Holies. But this is where his life was. This is where his ministry was. And we could say that what is the significance between this space, between the two altars? We know that Christ, as our high priest, has gone into the Holy of Holies in heaven on our behalf. And there he has offered his blood to the Father to pay for our sins, to propitiate God's anger, to propitiate his wrath, to pay for our sins and to unite us to God, to make us at one again. He is the atonement. So Christ has opened this place for us, but we live our lives also in this place, where we are approaching, and we are approaching the Holy of Holies, and we are going to God directly. The life of the believer, we are free, and we are free to go to God because of what Christ has done. But take a picture of this, the detail, it's just immaculate. You can picture yourself in it, can't you? It's like a little, this is what we would look like in there. If this is to scale, this is what we would look like. But we live our lives here. But the beautiful thing, if you think of the priest who's going into the ministry, into his ministry, he's passing this altar first. And as he passes this altar, what does he see? He sees on it the ashes of the sacrifice. And he sees on it that something has been given and something has been received and it has been consumed for him. And he could say, that sacrifice has been made, that sacrifice has been accepted. And then he goes into the sanctuary. And then he goes to this altar here, where he puts the incense there. He takes it by faith and he throws it on there. This doesn't happen unless you understand that this already has happened. Like, I don't approach God with my prayer. I don't approach God with my needs if I don't believe that he has paid the price for me, that the sacrifice has been made. Like, I don't have a place here unless I believe that this has happened. So if I, as a believer, now here I am, a New Testament believer, what am I thinking about this? I approach God by faith, believing that Christ's work on the cross was enough for me, and that I actually do have the right to come into the presence of God based on what he has done. So let's read now the altar of incense that's here, right? This is directly in line with the ark, right? So we go to the altar of incense, and we can read about it here in Exodus chapter 30. The detail in the description is amazing. Like, where do you put the rings? Where do you put the moldings? It says the moldings, it has like a coping around. It's all golden. But we can say, we can put it, start in verse 6. You shall put the altar of incense before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamps, and he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it. a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or burn offerings, or grain offerings, nor shall you pour drink offering on it. Like this, that stuff happens out here. Like the offerings, the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, the drink offerings, they happen out here at the altar. But when I come in here, I don't have anything of my own to offer. And if we think of what is the incense that I have to offer to God, there He is with a sweet smelling incense. And when He put it on, it like the aroma is carried into the whole camp. What do I have to offer that would be a sweet smelling savor into the world that I live in? All of my stuff has been left out here. Everything I have is left out here on the altar. I put it there. And it's a beautiful thing. I come into the holy place with nothing. But there I pick up this incense and I put it on the altar and it goes up. The incense that we have is Christ. That I approach God, I approach the presence of God based on the merits of Christ. Imagine if I came to this altar and I came before God and I said, look what I got for you. And I start emptying my pockets, right? Say, Lord, you're going to love this. You're going to put that on there, right? Oh, look what I did this week. Oh, it's going to be so good. You're going to love it. Like I got that. I put it on the altar. And we say, hey, what do you think? He says, that's strange. That's strange fire. That's not what this is for. This is for you to come to me based on what Christ has done for you. And Christ to us is this incense. And when we come to God, we say, Lord, I have nothing to offer you, but I have Christ. And it goes up and it's an amazing aroma. What is it that God is looking for from us? That's the question, isn't it? When I approach worship, when I wake up in the morning and I have this idea of worship in my mind, what is worship? Is my worship something that I have to offer to God? And if I can't play guitar, well, then maybe I can play the spoons. Right? Like, is my worship something that I am doing? No, no, no. That's all left out here. That's all burned up. It's ashes. But the thing that I have to offer to God is my faith in Christ. And I come before the altar and I say, Lord, I don't have anything to offer you, but I believe in your Christ. I believe in Him. I have put my faith in Him, and that's what I put on the altar. And it goes up and it turns into this cloud and this aroma that escapes the tabernacle and it goes out into the world. This is what we have. This is what God delights in. We think that God is delighting in our worship. Is it because we sing like Sal, or is it because we sing like Pastor Doug? He got roasted this morning, didn't he? He did. I sit next to him every service, right? And I hear things. I do. I hear it. He sings. I should have stuck up for him this morning. I know now that he's not here, I'm sticking up for him. Pastor Donald just walked away. No, but that's not the point, is it? That I have Christ, and that's what I offer. He is delighting in my faith in Christ. That I am approaching this altar believing and trusting in the effect of this altar. Right? In the space in between these things is where I approach God. And there I am with faith in Christ. God delights in this. He delights in us approaching Him based on Christ's work. That's what He does. That's it. God delights in us approaching Him, not on our own work, not on our own merits, but on the merits of Christ. At the golden incense altar and into the Holy of Holies, where we are truly in fellowship with God. Everything that presents Christ in His own proper excellence is sweet and acceptable to God. When Christ is recognized for who He is, when Christ is presented by faith for who He is and what He has done, that is what God is delighting in. Have you ever had this idea that you need to explain something? Like something is so misunderstood that you need to clarify it? Right? I mean, it happens all the time. Somebody tells a story and you were there for it, and they're telling the story to someone else, and the other person's looking at you like, I have no idea what he's talking about. It's kind of the look I get a lot. But he's been, you could say, let me clarify. Let me add some context. Let me tell you, like, this is what happens, right? God doesn't need that from us. He doesn't. What he is asking of us, he doesn't need anything. What he is asking of us is if we would simply believe and trust in the work of Christ, and that we would present Christ for who he is. Like, he doesn't need us to dress Christ up. He doesn't need us to make him cooler. He doesn't need us to do something. But all he has asked us to do is present Christ. And, like, that's it. That's it. And he has great delight in it. At this altar, we are not occupied with our own frailties or our own failures. But we have believed in, right? We have believed and trusted in his sacrifice, and we are moving deeper into the sanctuary, approaching God with the confidence of an acceptable sacrifice. Approaching God with the confidence of an acceptable sacrifice. When you know you have the right thing, how do you feel? Man, it feels good, right? Man, it feels, when you know you have the right, you're walking up to a ball game, you're going down to Fenway or whatever, or you're going to Foxborough next week to watch Tom Brady play, right? And you go and you, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, Mac Jones. That's it. But Tom's coming next week, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And you know you have a valid ticket, right? You know you have a valid ticket. And you say, I'm going to give this to the guy at the thing and he's going to let me in. You have a certain confidence. But if you're walking up to that ticket counter and you kind of just like looking to find your own way in, like, you don't have that confidence. When we approach God with Christ, we have great confidence, because that is all he is looking for. That is what he delights in. Remember when Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration, he revealed his glory, and then they saw Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And what did Peter say? We got to build a booth, right? We got to build something. We got to do something. Get the skill saw, right? Get the screw guns, get the nails. Make sure you get the best stuff you can find. We got to build the best thing ever to remember this. What did the Father say? Everyone else was gone. And he said, this is my beloved Son. What? In whom I am well pleased. That's it. Christ is. Jesus said it himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So my life here, if in the ministry, I am living my life before God, and I am, behind me is the sacrifice that Christ has made. And there I've left my frailties, I have left my failures, I have a memory of the pile of ashes that's behind me. It's gone, it's dealt with forever, and now I am moving into the presence of God with nothing to offer but Christ. And this is my approach. C.H. McIntosh says that here I am at leisure, we are at leisure from ourselves and wholly engrossed with Christ. I am at leisure from myself. That's a great sentence. I'm at leisure from myself. What is, we have anxiety sometimes. Anybody ever have that? No? Okay, good. What is that anxiety? I'm not at leisure from myself, right? But actually, I am anxious because of myself, right? Because of what is happening, because of what I need to do, because of what I don't have, because of what I do have, whatever it is, it can all cause anxiety. But here, I have understood that Christ has taken all of that, and I am at leisure from myself. My relationship with God, I'm not saying all my anxiety is gone forever, but now I have a new way to manage it. I have a new way I have somewhere to put it. But what I'm saying, when I come here, I don't have anxiety. I am at leisure from myself. I am at, my relationship with God is not revolving around me and my anxiety. He has taken that out of the way. And now I live my life as Christ. Galatians 2:20 is this, isn't it? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives within me. In the life that I now live, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the incense altar. That's like the song I have to offer. That's the thing that goes up from my life, is that Christ is. And I'm at leisure from myself. When you're working, any kind, any field of work, you have to manage, like a lot of times you have to manage human error. You ever, okay, we're familiar with that idea, right? Like you, Rob, he puts in, he has somebody, right? He has somebody put in some pipe, right? Trust that it's the right way to go. The guy says, yep, nailed it on my way back to the office. And then you get a call from the contractor or the homeowner. I don't know what's going on in my cabinet, but it doesn't, I don't know. I don't know, right? Now they're managing that human error. And like when you approach a job or approach a task, a lot of times we have to calculate or at least give ourselves some percentage because there's no way we're going to get through this experience without screwing up in some way, right? It's added, we got to add it in. But here, we don't have to. We are at leisure from ourselves. In my relationship to God, I don't have to factor in how I can screw it up because He has secured it. He has done it. And He is not looking for my performance. He is not like measuring me or, you know, like giving me a degree, like in like some kind of martial arts, like I get a new stripe on my belt or I get a new color belt or something like that. No, He says, come. Come. We say, where do I stand? You said, he says to us, you are in Christ. And we say, how good am I? You are as righteous as anything. You cannot be any more than what you are in Christ. You're accepted in the beloved. So this is like the very beginning, right? The book of Exodus. But then in Psalm 141, David has this prayer. David, who is practicing this religion, right? This Jewish religion, he knows it. He practices it, and he has this prayer in Psalm 141, verse 1. He says, Lord, I cry out to you, make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry to you, and let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So David is putting himself in this picture. Like he knows that he has a relationship with God. He knows the picture that happens here. He says, there's something that happens there and like it is going up to you. Lord, like you are delighting in the sacrifice, you're delighting in the incense, delight in my prayer because I'm coming to you based on who you are. I believe you, Lord. I have faith in you and I'm coming to you that way. David had it. And then we see, we read this verse this morning and never got to it, but Revelation chapter 8, we see at the very end of the Bible. Right, so it's in the beginning, it's there with David, it's here at the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. So now here we see somewhere else, not in this tabernacle, not in this temple, not here, but in some way the angel is putting this incense on the altar and it is mixed with our prayers. And as it is burnt, it goes up. And where does it reach? It reaches God. It ascends before God. When we come to Him, based on His work, based on His promises, our prayers reach Him. What a humbling thing. Jesus said it in John chapter 14. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Isn't that great? John 14, 13 and 14. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. What does that mean? Well, it means like it's here. It's not out here, but it's in here. Like we could say, yeah, but I prayed for a new car for like 2 years now and I still don't have one. Well, that's not the point. God could do it. He could, very well could, and He will, maybe. I don't know. I prayed it happened. But this is bigger. That it is the prayers that glorify God. Like we said earlier, God delights in us presenting Christ as He is, who He is. So when my prayers are glorifying God and my prayers are seeking Him and my prayers are motivated by His love and moving and loving the body of Christ in humility, then they are rising up to God. I express my needs, understanding, like we said this morning, my prayers begin with Him. My prayers don't begin with me. I want my prayers to begin with Him, like in Acts chapter 4, where they said, Lord, you are God. You created this whole thing. And then we bring our prayers. We ask things in His name that glorify Him, that promote Him, and He does it. So here we see it in Revelation chapter 8, that God is acting, God is hearing in heaven. Right? Our prayers are sent up. We pray. Isn't that a mystery? Like we pray. And we say, okay, I believe that went somewhere. I believe it was heard. But it's not like we can get a tracking number. It's not like we can call someone and ask if they got it. But also, it's not going nowhere. Like, I don't know how we are all... Has everyone figured out who Santa is? Are we good with that? I don't want to blow any surprises here. Okay. We have the mailboxes. And they put them out in Marlboro. They put the North Pole mailbox out, and you can put your little letter to Santa in there. Oh, wow, that's so fun. But then there's just some guy named Bob, like, dumping it out in the back. Like, it doesn't go where you think it's going. What? Actually, you know what? Somebody told me this wild story. That, yeah, maybe it's not appropriate. I mean, it's not inappropriate, but I don't know. So somebody was having a hard time. And they put their phone in the North Pole mailbox. And then they were somewhere and someone picked them up and they said, where's your phone? I've been trying to call you. He said, oh, well, you gotta pick it up on the way home. And he said, okay. He said, where is it? He goes, just go to the post office. She's like, okay. He mail it to himself? Like, what the? So he walks into the post office and he goes, my phone's in Santa's mailbox. And they were like, what? They're like, my phone's in Santa's mailbox. Can I go get it, please? Sure enough, and the person's there like, okay. Wow. Right. They go to the back, they open the mailbox, bada boom, there's the phone. Yeah. He picks it up, he's like, all right, can we get something to eat? And then they just go home, like no problem. But our prayers are not like that, right? Our prayers land. They go to God and He hears them. He receives them and they are like an incense to Him. As our prayers go up, when my prayer is full of faith, it is like the faith in two ways. My faith in who Christ has said I am. Like I believe that He has saved me. I believe He has redeemed me. I believe that I have been brought to the point and I have the right to pray. But also I have the faith in what He is able to do. I believe He can do it. That faith is like a beautiful incense that goes up to God. And when it is there, He says, ooh, someone has faith. Someone's believing. And these things are billowing up to God in heaven. And think they meet God in heaven and then He comes down and He works in time. That's a powerful thought. That what do I not know here on earth? There's a lot I don't know. There's a lot we don't know. But God knows it. And He comes down and somehow He comes and He works. And He does things. It's amazing. He acts from and out of heaven and works in time. But He's not limited to time, right? He is not limited to what we are limited to. Like we pray with our limited understanding and we say, God, could you do this? And He says, I'm going to do something that's bigger. I'm going to go beyond. Like we were with Pastor Logan down there and they were saying they're just going through the process of how things happened that he became the pastor. And they said, we never would have planned this. This isn't what we had intended. But God was moving it along and God did it. And I said actually a lot like the way I ended up here, that it was God. And we say that God had an amazing plan. But he is free to be himself. Isn't that beautiful? God is free to be himself. I am limited. I might not know. I don't get it. I don't have the whole picture. But God does. And when he comes down and he works, he's not limited to me. Like, he is free to be himself and he is free to work. He can shake the place. He can move the mountain. He can heal anything. He can send any provision. And do I believe that? Do I understand that my prayers, where my prayers go? And am I ready for an answer? Have you ever prayed a prayer and you said, man, that was right, like, I don't know. If God were to answer that, I'd be terrified. And he does it, and you're like, whoa, brace for impact. Sometimes we pray, and God says, okay, I'm going to answer that prayer. Are you ready? Are you ready? We say, Lord, we pray for the city of Marlboro. Will you use us? Will you give us opportunities to minister? Will you give us influence in the city? Right? And he says, I'm going to answer that prayer, but are you ready? And we say, oh, whoa, I mean, I think I was kind of just saying that. I'm not sure. Right? No. We say, yeah, we're ready. We're ready, Lord. Put me in, coach. Like, we're ready. Whatever God has. But this is where our prayers are going. They're going before God. One last quote says, I don't know who has said it, but it says, when we offer our petitions to God, mingled with the sweet incense of the precious name of Jesus, do we realize that we're standing between the staves of his faithfulness and his power? We are standing between his faithfulness and his power. Like, what an amazing thing. He is faithful to hear our prayers, and he has the power to do anything. Do I understand that and do I believe that? So, that's it. Right? This is our prayers. God can expand our prayer life. God could build our prayer life, and as we go before him with these things, trusting him, humbled by him. You know what's the most humbling thing? The grace of God. The grace of God is so humbling. It's amazing because we realize that we don't have it, but then he gives us everything, and it's so humbling. So continue to live in the grace of God. Stand in the grace of God. Be humbled, and in that humility, approach him in prayer. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for giving us an entrance into the Holy of Holies. Thank you for giving us the privilege of prayer. And I just ask that you would lead us in it. You would teach us to pray, Lord, as we offer the incense of Christ, and we glorify him, and we come to you by faith, believing, Lord. So we ask that you would heal. We ask that you would deliver. We ask that you would lead and provide, God, add things to our life, Lord, we ask. Pray for this church. The vision that we have moving forward, the things that you have, the plans that you have for us, Lord. That's what we want to be living in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.